The next person who's going to speak is Reverdy Johnson, who is the father of our CCNRs.
Good morning. I got out of law school in 1963 and moved west. Little did I know that the firm that I joined in San Francisco would become counsel for this project. It made a lot of sense as I thought about it further, because the chairman of the board of Castle & Cook, Alex Budge, had a son, Whit Budge, and Whit Budge was a partner in the firm. And I had the good fortune to work for Whit. In the fall of 1963, he asked me if I would be prepared to work on this project. Said absolutely. Drove up the coast to look at the land just after Thanksgiving, with a sense of proprietary air already. I crossed through one of the sheep gates, ranch gates, walked out to Black Point, or Byler's Point, actually. And found there was somebody already there. And I went up to this young man, and I said, "Excuse me, what are you doing here?" And he says, "My name's Bill Turnbull, and I'm designing a building to go on here, and who the hell are you?" Well, that was the start of a friendship that lasted the rest of Bill's life. We got in trouble together for years and years, owned a winery together. My kids, his kids grew up together. It was just a marvelous, marvelous relationship. But what I really want to talk about today is not just how I got involved in the project or drafting the restrictions and handling all of the aspects of putting a project together so that it could be sold. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the people involved. And I've got on the wall photographs of some, but not all, of the people from the early days. There's a truism in farming that the farmer loses money every year, but he makes it up when he sells. Now, Susan's absolutely grand book on the ranch makes this very clear. Del Mar Ranch had a continuing history of bankruptcies, foreclosures, and new owners. And the last new owners, starting in 1941, out of the bankruptcy of Frick, were the Olson family. Oceanic purchased the property from the Olsons, and Emmett will talk more on how that occurred. In a contract in 1962, it closed 2 years later in 1964. The task of taking a 5,200-acre sheep ranch and converting it into a real estate development for all of us here was a daunting task for sure. There was one person who had the vision to pull it off, and that was Al Boki. He was an extraordinary individual because he had the capacity to assemble a bunch of people who had the talent that he was looking for, and then largely step back and let them take their own lead and provide guidance as necessary only to accomplish the goal that he saw. The he was based in Hawaii, but he was over here as necessary, and he was able to be successful because he had the support of everybody in Hawaii in Oceanic Catholic Cook. Fred Simpich was his boss, who was president of Oceanic. He supported him all the way down the line. Whenever there was or at the times that we had hiccups in this project, it only occurred because we had a loss of continuity in that support in Honolulu. And the times when we had project managers here who did not understand the history that they were working with occurred because things had changed in Honolulu. But by and large, Oceanic stood behind this project and made it work, and without their ongoing support, it simply wouldn't have happened. Al had known a fellow in Los Angeles who was a builder by the name of Ned Westover. He got hold of Ned to bring him up here to be in the first person in charge of physical plant, to be able to work with the engineers and contractors in getting the project off the ground. Now, Ned was a small man, gentle in appearance, but steel in execution. The fact that he was married to a WAC officer was evidence of the steel in his character. Ned guided the construction of the lodge, the Eshrick demo houses, condo one, subdivision improvements in the early years. In Los Angeles, he had known a very, very good young contractor by the name of Matt Sylvia. And he convinced Matt to come up and join him here on the coast. Now, I don't have any photographs of Ned. Actually, if I had in my wildest dreams anticipated that we would be here 50 years later, I would have done a lot more photography in the early years. But I don't. I have photographs of Al and a whole bunch of photographs of Matt, who became one of my dearest friends. Matt grew up in the area of around Fall River in Massachusetts, out of a Portuguese fishing family. He left home when he was a teenager, went to Florida, worked on a couple of dairy farms there. When the Korean War broke out, he lied about his age, joined the Navy, and spent the Korean War in the Navy, returned to be discharged in Long Beach, and his father's brother, Uncle George, was a builder with a small contracting business in the Los Angeles area. Matt went to work for George. George taught him how to build, and he became the builder of choice of architects who were probably some of the more difficult people to work with in terms of the precision that they required in their work. Matt worked for Richard Neutra, and he was the only contractor, as I understand this, that Neutra ever could find who could build a building where there was an angle of glass butted with two pieces of glass butted each other, and there was nothing else, just that glass butted. But Matt could build that. Ned brought him up here. He took to this landscape immediately. He had a wife and three kids. They came up, very small kids at the time. And he was never happier than when he was in tough weather, way up on a building, hanging on, or when the water was calm and he was out in a boat fishing for salmon, or when he was having a glorious time down at the lodge with his buddies. You will see photographs over there of Matt's 50th birthday in 1982. In one of those photographs, you will see Matt in coveralls with the Sea Ranch Fire Department name on it. Well, he didn't start that way at the party, but he ended up that way because Jay Baker and a number of the other characters were pretty tough hombres. Decided that Matt needed to be totally immersed in the river for his birthday. Matt fought like a tiger, but he ended up getting very wet. Somebody went into his truck and pulled out a set of coveralls for the fire department, and Matt changed into the coveralls for the rest of the party. There was one story about Matt. There are thousands of them, but I will leave you with one that is the stuff of which legends are made, but I was there, and I can testify to what other people consider to be part of the mythology of the Sea Ranch. But it occurred in the very early days, probably, it was Labor Day, probably 1965, the lodge was built. It was the one place that everybody gathered. We were all down there for, it was on Saturday night of Labor Day weekend, and it was getting dark. Telephone call, I guess a radio call, came up from the sheriff at Jenner, and he had encountered a entourage of Hell's Angels, who were heading up the coast, and their destination was the Sea Ranch, where they were going to camp for the weekend. Well, at the time, the Hell's Angels at that time, the Hell's Angels were largely very, very aggressive, tough guys. They just didn't fool around. They became a little bit as they grew older. You only had to have gray hair and a mustache, any facial hair, to be a Hell's Angel and a Harley. But at the earlier time, these guys were really tough. Well, the word got out to all of us at the lodge that we might have an encounter with the Hell's Angels or a visit from them. Matt went to his abode, Jay Baker to his abode, somebody else went elsewhere. They all came back with rifles, carbines, shotguns, and they were doled out to every man down there at the lodge. So we were ready. Sooner or later, we saw on the looking up at the road, a line of lights started passing by. But there was a gap. We couldn't understand really why there was a gap between the lights. You know, motorcycles, when they're next to each other, you get a couple of lights that are very tight. Well, we subsequently discovered that the modus operandi for traveling of the Hell's Angels was to have one bike dark and one bike with lights on, so that you never knew on the road how many there were. The sheriff followed them and escorted them all the way up to the Wallala River Bridge. And then he turned around. He said, "I've done my job. I got them out of here, and they're in Mendocino County, and whatever they want to do over there, that's fine." He came back down to the lodge, and everything was dark down there. All the lights were off. We had no indication that the lodge even existed. But we were standing in the parking lot. Sheriff drove in, his lights picked up all this gunmetal that was all being held. And he got out and he says, "Wow, you guys mean business." Now, I told the guys down in Jenner, said, "You don't want to stop at the Sea Ranch because they shoot first and ask questions later." He said, "You guys really mean it." Matt was a great teacher, and to his credit, many, because he was the only contractor here, many of the fellows who became contractors themselves learned their craft under Matt. Matt never begrudged the fact that he was teaching his future competition. He was so big a man in terms of his spirit that he wanted everybody to be able to share what he had. There were few people like him. The one person that I, one of the other people I do not have a photograph for was Marion Conrad. Name that probably would mean very little to most people here. Marion was one of the best PR women that was in the business. And she was assigned the task of figuring out how to promote this project when it was nothing but a sheep ranch. She divined that this was properly a Pebble Beach North. The opening of the ranch for being able to take reservations occurred in, because we didn't start selling property until the summer of 65, but we had an opening in March or April in 65. Marion Conrad put on the opening picnic down by below where the lodge is now, down by the old barn down there, and bussed up the beautiful people. The picnic tables were set out by the bluff, catered luncheon served, and it blew off the tables. That was the end of the beautiful people. But I have to be more generous to Marion. She created, through her contacts with the national press, Shelter magazines, Life, Look, Sports Illustrated, she created an image of the Sea Ranch that we've all lived up to. And that was an image of a project that was driven by its environment and not to abuse that environment. And if you go back to the early photographs of this project, they told that story. And it has remained true. Thank you.
Thanks, Reverdy. What Reverdy did not say, which I think is an interesting sideline, is that he and Emmett, who is sitting next to him, were only 25 and 27 years old when they were doing this. And when you think about trusting a project like this to a 25-year-old and a 27-year-old, it's quite a thought.